Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, May 20th, 2025. And we have the following stories from the front page of the commercial news. The first one is titled, United We Cook. Chefs helped United Way of Danville raise $75,000. And this is by Kayla White. The United Way of Danville Area Incorporated raised more than $75,000 Sunday in their first ever United We Cook fundraiser. 55 chefs took part in the event, which took place at the David S. Palmer Arena. More than 300 people attended the event. After purchasing their tickets, attendees wandered around the venue sampling wares and leaving Monopoly money tips, which were turned in for real dollars at the end of the night. The chefs with the highest amount of tips were named Best in Show, according to Stephanie Lober, owner of The Local, a Covington restaurant that will be opening a pop-up branch in Danville at the Vermilion River Beer Company's Beer Garden, The Garden at 107, which is under construction. I had a great experience. It was really fun, and it was for a good cause, Lober said. She and her team served smoked salmon dip with house-made crackers. Some chefs who participated were professionals, while others were hobby chefs. Michael Rimmel won the award for Top Chef. Jacob Daisy won the award for Best Appetizer and Beverages, and Robert Sloan won for Best Salad, while Jake Lazell won for Best Side Dish. Doug Ahrens won for Best Entree, while Kim Watson won for Best Dessert. Aaron Emke won the Judge's Choice Award for Best Dish, and Gent Juleps won for Best Presentation. United Way of Danville CEO Angie Lazell said the event was a huge success. It went really well, Lazell said. We had great support from the chefs and sponsors. For our first time out, we were really pleased with the results. Though the group has historically relied on donations coming from pledges taken directly out of donors' checks, that number has decreased significantly since the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic, Lazell said. So they have had to get more creative in coming up with ways to support their cause. United Way's never really done a major campaign. We've always relied on workplace campaigns for the most part, Lazell said, adding that workplace campaign donations are down 53% across the nation and 30% locally. Fisher National Bank was the event's presenting sponsor. Three other major sponsors helped underwrite most of the expenses: Earthwise Energy, Chittick Eye Care, and Haley Seifert from the Seifert Group with Keller Williams. Leftovers were donated to the women and children who live at Cross Point Human Services Domestic Violence Shelter, United Way of Danville's CEO Angie Lazell said. The funds raised will go to benefit the 27 programs from 20 different agencies in the area, including Project Success of Vermilion County, Food for the Children, the Survivor Resource Center, Danville Family YMCA, and more. United Way of Danville is a nonprofit organization that serves the needs of residents of Vermilion County, Illinois, and Fountain and Warren counties in Indiana. The group focuses on addressing both immediate challenges and the root causes of key issues by uniting individuals, businesses, public organizations, and nonprofits around shared goals, according to their website. Through their work in the communities they serve, UWOD works on improving the health of the community, providing opportunities and resources to area youth to maximize their potential, promoting financial stability crisis support, homelessness prevention, job training, and emergency services, and boosting community resiliency. To donate to the United Way, visit their website at unitedwayda.org. Next, from the front page, we have a staff report. This is titled, Local Students Earn Impact Award. Two Danville High School students have received the Impact Life Student Impact Award, given annually to students who have shown exemplary support of our region's blood supply. This year's recipients are Connor Bond and Janisa Vander Austin. The Student Impact Award program recognizes the many ways students can support the blood supply as donors, advocates, volunteers, and blood drive coordinators. Recipients of the Student Impact Award have completed one of the following activities while in high school: donated blood at least 6 times, recruited at least 6 new blood donors, or have hosted a local blood drive. Across our region, we're fortunate to work with students who want to make a difference, develop leadership skills, and volunteer to help our community, said Jim Watts, manager of donor relations. We appreciate our Student Impact Award recipients for their commitment to helping others, and we look forward to seeing the positive difference they'll make long into the future. Impact Award recipients receive an award certificate and a red cord that represents the connection between blood donors, Impact Life, and patients who are helped by the students' support of our region's blood supply. With permission from their school, students may choose to wear the red cord in their high school graduation ceremony. Impact Life distributes the Student Impact Award during the final weeks of the school year, a time when the blood center begins to see a decrease in the rate of blood donation that's caused in part by a loss of school-based blood drives. The blood center has an immediate need for donors of all blood types and type O negative blood donors, the universal blood type in particular. To book an appointment for blood donation, please call 800-747-5401 or text 999-777, or you can schedule online at bloodcenter.org. And our final front page story today is from the Associated Press, and it is Biden diagnosed with aggressive prostate cancer. This is by Josh Boak. Washington. Former President Joe Biden has been diagnosed with prostate cancer, his office said on Sunday. The finding came after the 82-year-old reported urinary symptoms, which led doctors to discover a nodule on his prostate. He was diagnosed with prostate cancer on Friday, with the cancer cells having spread to the bone. While this represents a more aggressive form of the disease, the cancer appears to be hormone sensitive, which allows for effective management, his office said. The president and his family are reviewing treatment options with his physicians. In a post on X on Monday morning, Biden posted a photo of himself and his wife, Jill Biden, and wrote, "Cancer touches us all. Like so many of you, Jill and I have learned that we are strongest in the broken places. Thank you for lifting us up with love and support." Prostate cancers are graded for aggressiveness using what's known as the Gleason score. The scores range from 6 to 10, with 8, 9, and 10 prostate cancers behaving more aggressively. Biden's office said his score was 9, suggesting his cancer is among the most aggressive. When prostate cancer spreads to other parts of the body, it often spreads to the bones. Metastasized cancer is much harder to treat than localized cancer because it can be hard for drugs to reach all of the tumors and completely root out the disease. However, when prostate cancers need hormones to grow, as in Biden's case, they can be susceptible to treatment that deprives the tumors of hormones. Outcomes have improved in recent decades, and patients can expect to live with metastatic prostate cancer for 4 to 5 years, said Dr. Matthew Smith of Massachusetts General Brigham Cancer Center. It's very treatable, but not curable, Smith said. Most men in this situation would be treated with drugs and would not be advised to have either surgery or radiation therapy. Many political leaders sent Biden their wishes for his recovery. President Donald Trump, a longtime political opponent, posted on social media that he was saddened by the news and, "We wish Joe a fast and successful recovery." Biden's Vice President Kamala Harris said on social media that she was keeping him and her family's hearts and prayers during this time. "Joe is a fighter, and I know he will face this challenge with the same strength, resilience, and optimism that have always defined his life and leadership," Harris wrote. Former President Barack Obama said his thoughts and prayers were with Biden, his former vice president, lauding his toughness. "Nobody has done more to find breakthrough treatments for cancer in all its forms than Joe, and I am certain he will fight this challenge with his trademark resolve and grace," Obama wrote on social media. The health of Biden was a dominant concern among voters during his time as president. After a calamitous debate performance in June while seeking re-election, Biden abandoned his bid for a second term. Harris became the nominee and lost to Trump, a Republican who returned to the White House after a 4-year hiatus. But in recent days, Biden rejected concerns about his age, despite reporting in the new book Original Sin by Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson that AIDS had shielded the public from the extent of his decline while serving as president. In February of 2023, Biden had a skin lesion removed from his chest that was a basal cell carcinoma, a common form of skin cancer. And in November of 2021, he had a polyp removed from his colon that was benign, but potentially precancerous lesion. In 2022, Biden made a cancer moonshot one of his administration's priorities, with the goal of halving the cancer death rate over the next 25 years. The initiative was a continuation of his work as vice president to address a disease that had killed his older son, Beau, who died from brain cancer in 2015. His father, when announcing the goal to halve the cancer death rate, said this could be an American moment to prove to ourselves, and quite frankly the world, that we can do really big things. And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for May 20th. And the first today is for Lyle Coleman Winkler. Lyle C., or Bud Winkler, 74, of Danville, passed away peacefully at home with his family by his side on Sunday, May 18th, 2025. Bud's visitation will be from 2 to 4 p.m. on Wednesday, May 21st, at Kruger Funeral Home at 10 East William Street in Danville. Mass will be held at 11 a.m. on Thursday, May 22nd, at Holy Family Catholic Church, 444 East Main Street in Danville. Burial will follow services at Resurrection Cemetery. Memorial contributions may be left in Bud's name to Holy Family Catholic Church. Michael D. Tomlinson. Michael D. Tomlinson, 73, of Chillicothe, passed away at 4:10 a.m. Saturday, May 17th, in Chillicothe post-acute, following an extended illness. A private graveside service will be held at the convenience of the family. Military graveside rites will be conducted by the Ross County Veterans Honor Guard. Arrangements are under the direction of the Ware Funeral Home. Beverly Jane Sharp Bontrager. Beverly Jane Hawley Sharp Bontrager, 88 years old, of Sturgis, Michigan, passed away on May 13, 2025, in Chesterton, Indiana, at the residences of Coffee Creek, where she had resided for a year. Friends and relatives can call at Mouse Funeral Home in Attica for visitation at 12 p.m. Wednesday, May 21st, with a funeral and memorial service following at 1 p.m. Instead of flowers, contributions in her name can be made to Dunes Hospice, 4711 Evans Avenue, Valparaiso, Indiana, 46383, or to DunesHospiceLLC.com. Any cards, letters, or other memorial items can be mailed to Crystal Sharp Bauer at 1307 Parkway Court, Valparaiso, Indiana. Earl Lindsay. Earl Eugene Lindsay, 76, of Urbana, Illinois, and formerly of Bismarck, Illinois, passed away at 3:10 p.m. on May 17, 2025, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of life memorial service will be held on Thursday, May 22, 2025, at 4 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, Illinois. Miles Clark will officiate, and interment will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Visitation will be held on Thursday, May 22nd, from 2 to 4 p.m. at the funeral home. Memorials may be made in Earl's memory to the American Cancer Society or to a charity of the donor's choice. Timothy E. Brooks. Timothy E. Brooks, 47, of Ridge Farm, died at 8:07 p.m. Saturday, May 17th, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services and Crematory at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. Roy D. Burke. Roy D. Burke, 70, of Tilton, died at 9:21 a.m. Saturday, May 17th, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services and Crematory in Tilton. Carol Corson. Carol Corson, 82, died Saturday, May 17th, 2025, at home. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to noon Wednesday at Bethel Lutheran Church, 901 West Fairchild Street in Danville. Memorial services will be at noon Wednesday at the church, and burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. A celebration of life will also be scheduled and announced at a later date. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville is in charge of the arrangements. Orlis Sisson. Orlis Sisson, 95, of Danville, died Friday, May 16, 2025. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services in Tilton. That's the end of the obituaries for this Tuesday. We're going to turn now to a story from the News Gazette by Jennifer Bailey titled Working on Their Landing. Danville. It was perfect flying weather for some Southview Upper Elementary School 5th and 6th graders as they were the pilots in charge of a flight simulator Monday, trying to carefully land an airplane at the Indianapolis International Airport. Most succeeded on their first try. Some landed right on the runway, some on the nearby grass, but some also didn't succeed quite as well. One student having a more difficult time was Renee Aparisi, 11 on her first try. It was hard to get straight, she admitted. Another student, Gabriel Loden, said the controls weren't too hard to maneuver. He kept the airplane straight and landed right on the runway. He was proud of himself for the feat. 11-year-old Shante Berry said the experience was fun and hard. It was cool, added 10-year-old Jonathan Morales. The students are part of the Project Lead the Way classes, taught by Matt Scroffren. The Lift Lab flight simulator vehicle came to the school on Monday from the Lift Flight Academy Flight School in Indianapolis. There are 4 simulators in the truck, and it travels to schools, air shows like in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and Indianapolis events, including at Indianapolis Indians baseball and Indiana Pacers basketball games, and National 4-H Convention at Lucas Oil Stadium. The mobile simulator is of a DA-40 single-engine plane sitting 4 passengers. It's one of the aircraft they fly for the Lift Academy, which is owned by Republic Airways. Lift Academy's main location is in Indianapolis, with other locations in Texas, South Carolina, and Alabama. The flight school is open to those age 18 and older. They just need a high school diploma or GED and be able to pass a first-class medical certificate, said Alvin Bun-Tobes, Lift Academy mobile recruiter. We like to bring this out. It brings out awareness of the Lift Academy, and it's also to get students and people interested in becoming a pilot, Bun-Tobes said of the mobile Lift Lab. He said they hear success stories of people who've been in the Lift Lab who signed up for an exploratory session and then became pilots. Bun-Tobes said they are a direct pipeline for Republic, with pilots flying for American, Delta, and United Airlines. He added that Scovran teaches STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, and this fits into the student's aviation unit. The students control the plane and its throttle, which controls engine speed in the simulator in addition to its parking brake. Bun-Tobes tells the students that they don't want to see fire and smoke because that means they didn't have a smooth landing. Scovran said that as part of his classes, the 5th and 6th grade students build, design, test, draw, and even break some items, such as the small toy planes the students were given and had to put back together after their flight simulator experience. The students also received stickers and plane trading cards. Scovran said the students have units on aviation, sound and light waves, and alternative forms of energy like wind turbines and solar panels, and they do 3D drawing, robotics, mechanical engineering, and putting gears together, coding, and they go into different types of motions like linear and speed and torque. Scovran has been teaching Project Lead the Way classes for 10 years, and Lift Academy has traveled to the school most of these years. Bun-Tobes and Lift Academy's enrollment advisor April Vermillion said they have a cadet program for high schoolers. Vermillion said a lot of their students are career changers, and it's for anyone who has thought about possibly being a pilot. currently have a little more than 500 students enrolled across the four campuses. A lot of our trainings, they do a lot of the autopilot stuff and learn all of that, but you still need to know how to land and take off, Vermilion said, instead of relying on autopilot to perform the most critical parts of flying. And returning to local stories from the commercial news, we have a staff report titled Danville Man Pleads Guilty to Drug Weapons Charge. On May 15th, Tymone Jackson, age 38, pleaded guilty in two separate cases to unlawful possession of a weapon by a felon, a Class 2 felony, for a sentence of 12 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections, and to possession of contraband in a penal institution, a Class 1 felony, for a sentence of 6 years in the IDOC. The sentences will be served concurrently. Jackson will serve 1 year of mandatory supervised release following his release from prison. Judge Karen Wall presided over the plea and sentencing. Evidence was presented that on October 26, 2024, Jackson was the driver of a car that was stopped by the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department for violations of the Illinois Vehicle Code. Deputies observed suspicious activity during the stop and searched the vehicle and the occupants, including Jackson. While searching Jackson's person, deputies located a loaded handgun. Jackson had previously been convicted of unlawful possession of a weapon by a felon and is not legally allowed to possess a handgun. The people also presented evidence that on November 7th of 2024, while Jackson was an inmate at the Vermilion County Public Safety Building, an investigator of the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department received information that drugs were present in the jail. Following this lead, Jackson was questioned and subsequently searched. The investigator located cocaine concealed on Jackson's person. State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey thanked the members of the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department for their work in these cases. She added, "This defendant, who was already facing serious charges for illegally possessing a weapon, showed complete disregard for the law by bringing illegal drugs into the public safety building. Not only was his behavior illegal, but he endangered the security of our correctional facility, staff, and inmates." And another staff report, Landers sentenced to 45 years in IDOC for stabbing. Jesse Landers, age 44, formerly of Westville, was sentenced recently to 45 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections to be served at 100%. On February 27th, following a week-long trial, a Vermilion County jury found Landers guilty of first-degree murder. During the trial, the people presented evidence that on the evening of January 3, 2023, Landers fatally stabbed John Carmine. Officers responded to the scene after receiving reports of the victim laying in the roadway. Despite his critical injuries, Carmine was able to identify Landers as the person who stabbed him. A short time later, Landers was located walking nearby. And also another staff report. The Danville Police Department received a 911 call Monday around 10:30 p.m. The subject had been shot in the 900 block of Oak Street. Officers arrived to find a victim with a single gunshot wound. The 19-year-old male victim was shot while he was inside of a residence, and officers located several high-caliber bullet casings at the scene. Anyone who has information is asked to call 217-431-2250 or contact Vermilion County Crime Stoppers. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, May 20th, 2025. Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it has been a pleasure to read for you. I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.